Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that today that becomes more true. Pray that that would be why we're here. It's why we come here on a Saturday. We're not fishing or playing golf, which sounded really nice after he said it. But we're here to know more about you, to have that more true in our lives. And so, Father, I pray for the next 15 minutes that we got, that you would ordain it. You would come and you'd meet us here in this place with these guys. That's my hope and that's my prayer. Let's get to it. Amen. My name is Marshall. I am the director of outreach at Proven Men, and I just started about 2 months ago. My story is similar to everyone else's in this room, I'd imagine. We're all men. We all struggle at some capacity or another. I don't know where you are today, but that's still true. I don't know at what depths you're in, but that's still true. Today, I want to talk about the ultimate essence of evil. That may sound ethereal, that may sound out there, it may sound a little on the outskirts of what we should be talking about, right? You're here to be equipped with tools to be able to leave this place. I know where I am, I know what this is, I know what this is for, but I would not want to take a step further into tools and practicals without dealing with the ultimate essence of your struggle. Yeah, I don't. When I say evil, I mean the everyday evils you deal with. Because we're Proven Men, we're dealing with the everyday sexual integrity struggles that you deal with, the sins that you leave here facing. Now, I could give you 5 tips out of our study material, but as Nick said elegantly, that study material is simply putting you at the feet of Jesus every single day. And I'm going to give the backstory. I'm going to give the foundation more in depth of why we believe that's the answer. Why we believe that video is the answer. Why I say your devotion, your focus, and your effort is not your greatest challenge, but your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be? Could it be? So I'm going to deal with the ultimate. There's nothing more. There's nothing underneath it. It's it. I'm going to deal with the essence. What stirs in your soul? What is it that causes you to do what you do? Of evil. And again, the everyday evils that you face. And then here's why. There's 3 reasons. Until we know, until we see, and until we hate in your own heart and in the world this evil, you will dumb down the majesty and the glory of God. You will diminish the triumph of Christ on the cross and in the resurrection. And you will gut the glory of the Christian life. So let's start. Jeremiah 2:10 through 13. I've got 3 scriptures. So, just a heads up. Jeremiah 2:10 through 13. So again, until you know, until you see, until you hate the evil that you do, you will dumb down the glory and the majesty of God. You will diminish the triumph of Christ on the cross and in the resurrection, and you will glut the Christian life of its joy. So Jeremiah 2:10-13. For cross the coasts of Cyprus and sea, you'll send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed 2 evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out, number 2 here, hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that hold no water. So the two evils we see in this passage are here. What is that? My people have forsaken me. Notice Yahweh God making himself the fountain of living waters in this text. Right? This is Yahweh speaking. I am the fountain of living waters, and they've forsaken me. My people forsaken me. What else? They've hewed out cisterns for themselves. You literally need to see them beating a bowl out to be able to gain water, right? To drink from. The broken cisterns. They've exchanged the glory for worthlessness. They've exchanged a log cabin in the Alps for the dumpster behind this church. That's what's happening here. Be shocked, O heavens. Be appalled. Do you feel that? Do we feel that every day? That's what we're dealing with. Two evils. I think, one, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And the same evil on the flip side of that coin, they've hewed out cisterns for themselves. Broken cisterns. The money cistern is broken. The beauty and bronze cistern is broken. The sex cistern is broken. What's happened here? Why the nations should be, the heavens should be appalled, why the nations should be shocked, is they're going to die of thirst. They're going to die. And they look at Christ, they look at Yahweh God, their God. No thanks, I'll have something else to drink, please. No need. They are going to die. So again, Jeremiah 2:10, the two evils in the same coin. The essence of evil here is to lose a taste for God, or the flip side, to prefer anything more and over Him. The essence of evil that we're dealing with here is, I don't get any pleasure from you. Next, be shocked. No thanks. That's the evil that drives your decisions in every single day life. My hope is that you would leave here knowing what's happening, that you would know it, that you would see it happen, and that you would hate it, right? So let's go, right, who is the guy, keynote speaker this morning? I lost his name. Ryan Carter made the really good point that we will all walked in today with the same sin when he references Genesis 3. So let's go there now. Head there with me. Genesis 3, 1 is fine. Yeah, right at the beginning. We all walked in with it. It all started here. The reason we're having this conversation, the reason that you chose this group, the reason that you have to come to these meetings, the reason that we have church, the reason that all this is coming about is because of this moment in history right here. He made a very good point that Adam was there, and he's liable for an accusation. He's guilty. He's being passive here. Let's read. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field of the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you should not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, you should not eat of this fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die, for God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, one, and then it was a delight to the eyes, too, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her. Now, mind you, we're going to go to Romans here in a minute. And if we don't get this, that he's guilty in this moment, then we miss Romans. All of Romans, trash it. Right? So Adam's here. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. This is important, because, right, thousands and thousands and millions, and every single inhabitant on this planet is here, walked in as a result from this moment. Right? That's why no one is a good apart from God. Right? We can say that. Why? Because of this moment. Your Father passed it on to you from the very beginning all the way down. I don't know how many people there are in the world. I imagine it's in upper billions. Every single person deals with this. So what happened? They saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that it was desired to make one wise. Notice Adam, again, was complacent. So what's the essence of the first forever infecting sin? What's the essence here, right? So I made an inference in Jeremiah 2:10 that we have the first, number one, same coin, if chosen to forsake God, not enough, then I'll have something else, please. Let's look at the temptation. God is withholding something really exciting. That's what Satan's saying. Something that is really good and really satisfying. Let me ask you this. If I walked in today and I said, who wants to be wise like God? Right? I'm like, yeah, sign me up. Yeah, why not? This is really good. This is so good. And I want it. So they see that it is good for food. Now follow the thought here. See this. It's good for food, a delight to the eyes, and desire to be wise. It's delicious. It's nurturing. And you won't let me have it. That's what's happening. It looks so good. You won't let me have it. This is wickedness at its core. It's delicious. It's delightful. It's desirable. And I've been denied. You won't let me have it. From that moment on, they ate, right? They ate. What they're saying, we will not be denied. I will not be denied what I desire over you. Be shocked, O heavens. Be appalled. Know it, see it, and hate it. That's what's happening. I don't know if you struggle with pornography. I don't know if you struggle again with the 23-year-old that runs down your street. I don't know where you struggle. I know that you struggle. Be shocked. The reason we flee, the reason we have dumb phones and don't have GPS or OK Google or Siri, the reason we take those stances, the reason we put those boundaries up around us is simply this, right here. Because I don't want to be put in a position. I don't want to be put in a position where I can choose anything other than Him. This is what's happening. You're not enough. I will not be denied what I want. And you can hear the Holy Spirit whispering. And you're standing in front of the majesty of Yahweh God, who knows the hairs on your head and holds you together, Scripture says. It says, not enough. You won't let me have it. So was the eating of the fruit the sin, right? Our entire lives, my entire life, I was told the sin here is rebellion. Right? They disobey. That's a big issue. No. If you go throughout your life thinking that obeying the commandments is the ultimate essence of good and the disobeyment of commandments is the ultimate essence of evil, you'll miss it entirely. You'll miss it entirely. If that was the case, how could God command you to delight in Him? Psalms. What's under the other, right? You're going to miss it. If it was just about, don't do this, do that, don't do that, do this, don't do that. You've been doing it. That's why you're here. You know people in your lives that are doing it. That's why you're here. Go deeper. The underlying issue is that you have an adulterous heart choosing things over God. If that was the case, right? if the ultimate essence of good was doing the right thing, then God couldn't command delight in the Lord. God is commanding you to do this underlying thing that God is asking, delight in the Lord. Find ultimate joy in Him. Why? Because that's more important. That's the point. And we go throughout our lives thinking, don't do this, do that, and we grow weary and we fail, and our wives are miserable and our kids see it, and we miss it. You just don't love God. Let's go to Romans 3:23. And actually, go to Romans 1:23. All right, y'all go there, I'll go to Romans. Everybody knows Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, correct? I had said at first that if you don't know until, if you don't see and you don't hate that this is true in you, you will first dumb down the majesty of God and the glory of Yahweh God. Why? Because He's not enough. You dumb it down. He's not enough. Porn's better than Him. You'll strip Christ of His power on the cross and the resurrection in your life. If you just go about your life doing the right thing, that doesn't glorify God. That just makes you look like a moral man. But if you leave this building loving God, passionately pursuing, why? Because He's better than everything else. That glorifies God. That will change your family. That your kids will follow. That your kids will follow. Your kids will not follow where we're going to go to church. And it's proven in our churches. I don't know the statistic offhand, but it's proven. SBC, we work with them closely. After 18, they're done. You don't pay for my phone bill anymore, so I don't have to go to church. If you passionately pursue and follow God, they're coming. They're following. Do that with you don't have kids? Awesome. There's men in your church. There's young men in your church that need this. I told this to Joel the other day. I was like, our generation, because we've grown up with porn literally at my fingertips. At 12 years old, I found it. I've been living since 12 years old to 23 in a three-week rotate cycle, constantly going, I feel terrible, God, I need you. Roller coaster. I feel terrible, God, I need you. I feel terrible, God, I need you. So the men that we reach are done. They're at their limit. They've done this for how many years? They're tired. God, I need you. They focus on Christ. They're back at it. They fail. They're worthless. God hates them. And they don't ever know the gospel. They don't ever get the gospel. These young men in your lives, they need you. They need you to get this. And they need you to teach it to them, to walk it out, to walk it out in front of them. I wish my dad had. I lost my spot. It's fine. I can wing it. Romans 3:23. They've fallen short of the glory of God. What the heck does that mean? What does that even mean? Romans 1:23. A cool thing to remember, take from here, little tool. Romans 1:23 explains Romans 3:23. It's the definition of it. So I'm going to start in 21. For although they knew God, we're talking about everybody here. Romans does a really good thing about pinpointing specific types of people. Now he's big blanket statement, kind of like Jesus did. If anyone looks at a woman lustfully, right? So big blanket statement. Everybody in here falls under subject to this. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, and birds, and animals, and creeping things. They've exchanged it. So the ultimate essence of evil is not doing the right thing. The ultimate essence of evil is desiring anything over God. What's faith, right? What's the foundation of what we believe? Is it simply Don't reduce it to the belief of affirmations of sentences that Satan himself believes are true. Right? Jesus was the Son of God. Satan believes that. Faith is placing your hope and your glory and the joy in knowing God fully. And he's supremely valuable above everything else. He's supremely treasured above everything else. There's nothing like him. That's faith in God. That's faith. That's something your kids are going to follow. That's what's going to save you. That's what you're not going to hear walking into the gates of heaven. He's going to, I don't know who you are, man. Jesus, you? If we think it's just not about watching porn, we've missed it. It's about loving God. It's about loving him. So I'm not going to give you 10 tips to walk out of here to fight sin so that 3 months later you can be on this roller coaster again. I'm going to give you a tip so when you leave here and you lie to your wife, you're going to know that, you're going to see it, and you're going to hate it. Why? Why? Because I'm not going to diminish God anymore. I'm going to hold him as supremely valuable and supremely treasured above my life. He's better than you, wife. He's better than you, Jill. You can't satisfy me like God can. You can't. Wow. Watch a kid see that. I love my wife. She doesn't even compare to the glory of God. She's bad. He's badder, right? If you just believe that it's not about watching porn, well, you've missed the point of the cross. Give me your sin, son. Give me your sin, son. It's not about not doing that. It's about resting in me, abiding in me, John 15. And you got the glory of a Christian life. God, there's so much joy in knowing him. I don't know how you're not a Christian yet. It's awesome. How many people say that in your life? No one. Me too. I work for a ministry. I'm just annoying half the time, right? That's what I get a lot. Mustache is obnoxious. The glory of the Christian life is gutted when you don't pursue him above everything else, not out of duty. If I bought my wife flowers on Valentine's Day and told her, well, I'm supposed to. She'd be crushed. God doesn't need your service. God doesn't need you at all. He gives you, grants you every single breath. One of you could die right now. I'd be traumatized. One of you could die right now. He doesn't need you. He wants you. He wants you. I don't get my wife flowers on Valentine's Day because I'm supposed to. It's because she stirs up affections in my heart and I love her so deeply. I don't go to church because I'm supposed to. I go to church because I need God in fellowship. I need brotherhood. I need it to be reminded of his goodness. I need to sing his praise. I don't go through this 12-week study because I don't want to watch porn anymore. I go through this 12-week study because I need God. I don't just want him, I need him. 3 weeks ago, I'm burnt out. I've been on this ministry for 2 months, and it is sad. And this is what saddens me. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm distant from God. My wife and I are fighting because I'm irresponsible half the time. That's usually where our fights come from. She's always right. I'm not saying that I'm trying to be funny. I mean it. I'm a terrible person. And I'm laying in bed. It's already 2 o'clock in the morning. I crawl in bed because I was hanging out with the buds. Forgot to text her. She's ticked. You awake? I'm hoping you're saying no. I hope you don't say anything. We talk it out, and I'm burnt. I'm drained. I needed the buddies. I needed hanging out, playing some poker. to fill me up. I shoot that cistern out, and it does not fill my void. And I get home, my wife's ticked. Because I'm irresponsible. And I'm laying in bed. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I got to get up and go to work in the morning. But I need God. I need Him. I can't do this anymore. I can't pretend like I can go on without you. So I get my butt out of bed at 2 in the morning. I sit on the couch and I just rest in the truth that there's nothing I can do in this moment that would make God love me more. If I would have stayed in bed and been apathetic and passive, God still would have loved me the same. But He wants you, fellas. He wants you. So, let's wrap it up. The ultimate essence of evil, staring at the face of Yahweh God and saying, not enough. And then, right, flip the coin over, choosing anything else over Him. I don't know what that is for you. I can guess sexual integrity because we're here, right? There's other things. I'm sure. Lying. Whatever that is. I'm thankful that you're here. Next step, our table is literally right there. After lunch, come see us. Come talk with us. I want to know you. I can't stand up here and hear your stories. I want to hear them. Come on by. Let's get connected. Let's talk about the Father. Let's get encouraged today. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for lunch, and we're thankful that you allow us to taste, and we can actually enjoy food versus not. We understand that every good thing comes from you, Father. But we also understand that we're adulterers. Father, I pray for the men in this room, that every single one of them will leave here today with the mind being vigilant about seeing, about knowing, and about hating the evils that they commit. That they would see it. That this would be the start, right? We can build from here, but this is the start. That this week, this month, this year would be the start of knowing, seeing, and hating the ultimate essence of evil in their everyday life. That's my prayer, God. Be with these men. Be with their wives. Be with their future wives. Be with their girlfriends, their fiancés. Be with their kids. I pray that they would walk out of here starting the path to being the kind of men their kids just want to follow. They can't choose anything else. There's nothing better. And they know it by these men's examples. So that's my prayer and that's my hope. And that's why we're here, God, today. That's why we're here. So let's rest in that, God. Help us. Focus our hearts. It's in your awesome name that we pray. Amen.